This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday morning, April 4th, humid and windy and muggy and unseasonably warm, highs near 85 today, same for tomorrow, 55% chance for showers, then 90% chance for rain on Sunday. And then cools off by Monday, 65 for a high, then 70 Tuesday, 72 Wednesday, then warming through the weekend, but nothing but sunshine next week. Approaching 80, I would suggest you get out and enjoy the weather while you can, because it's going to be miserably hot and humid in the blink of an eye. One thing that's kind of fallen off the radar with the tariff talk is what happened with classified information and the Signal app and attack plans on the Houthi rebels and so forth. We didn't forget about it, though, so we wanted to talk to Dakota Rudisill, a law professor at the Ohio State University. He's previously advised senior leaders in all three branches of the federal government, including the Director of National Intelligence, DNI. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Great to be with you.
Thanks for taking the time with us. I really do appreciate it. I know for those that are listening right now that think President Trump walks on water and refused to admit that there was any fault or any wrongdoing with anything, this is not going to mean anything. But for those with open minds, we thought it'd be interesting to talk to you, since you have worked in the hallways before, been there, done that, as they say, to see just what kind of security indiscretion this is, if you want to call it that. Let's talk about a couple of things that maybe are not being talked about in this story that maybe should be.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, based on the reports, which have been significantly confirmed by the National Security Council and the Defense Department, meaning that the chat is actually what it appears to be, that those senior National Security Cabinet officials were on it. They were talking about the material, which you can read in black and white. So we know that. And I would say that at the very least, it is highly reckless for them to be using an unsecured commercial app to be communicating about military strike plans, and probably illegal as well under a number of different longstanding federal statutes. And I think there's some other pieces of this which have not really gotten much conversation, but I think that really should. Mm-hmm. So one of them is that this chat did not appear to include anybody from the military. And it did not include anybody who was doing legal review. When we look at National Security
Council... Let me just jump in
Council,
for a second, Professor, yeah. if I may, for people yeah. that are going through their radio right now. When you say no members of the military, you're talking about no generals besides... nobody besides the Secretary of Defense, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. So typically... decision-making at what's called the Principals Committee level at the National Security Council, and that's how they build this, right? Mm-hmm. This is the title of this Signal Chat group. When you've got NSC leadership at that level deliberating, you've got the people who are mentioned there, and you additionally have the senior military advisors. That's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, you also have lawyers there as well. You've got usually the legal advisor to the National Security Council and or the Attorney General or somebody else in the Justice Department. And that's because when you've got the senior civilians deliberating, you want the statutory military advisor to the president the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff there, and you want legal review to make sure what you're doing is legal, and they were not here.
So what does that say about the operation or deliberate exclusion or inexperience? What would you infer from that?
Well, it's certainly a big break from how things have, you know, operated for, I don't know, more than a half century. And it's very worrisome. Congress should look into that, do its oversight role. And I'm glad to see that the Department of Defense Inspector General is looking into this. But it's a major break from how things have been done. And it's very worrisome because, yes, you definitely want the top civilian people to be conferring from various departments about a proposed, you know, use of lethal force. But you also want legal advice, because everything in America has to be legal that the government does. And you also want independent military advice. And the law is very, very clear that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is the senior military advisor to the president and the National Security Council and the Secretary of Defense, and the chairman shall provide independent military advice, their own opinion on, you know, whether something is advisable. Then they have to execute legal orders, any legal order they have to execute. But it is under the law, the military has to provide independent legal advice. And so if the top civilians are not getting independent legal advice, independent military advice, I'd be very worried about the quality of their decisions.
News broke today. President Trump fired a National Security Council officials, a couple of them that I guess because they far right activists raised questions about him and staff loyalty to him. Does this speak to, I don't know if this is where you need people that, like, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. And let me explain it this way. In a private company, for example, if you replace one manager with another and the people behind underneath them are not loyal to the new manager, well, then maybe you need to make a change. However, when it comes to the federal government, when it comes to the Department of Defense or national security, maybe that experience is of the utmost importance, and maybe you need to tell the president the truth whether or not he wants to hear it. So we'll kind of discern the difference between those two when we come back. We're talking to Dakota Rudisill, law professor at The Ohio State University, previously advised senior leaders in all three branches of the federal government, including the Director of National Intelligence. And I'm trying to take the politics out of this and just talk about preserving, protecting, and defending the country and the Constitution of the United States. 621 Traffic Now, WWO. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWO. Quickly back to Dakota Rudisill, a law professor at The Ohio State University, previously advised senior branches, all three branches of the federal government, including the Director of National Intelligence. So, Professor, I asked you the question beforehand about some firings that happened with the NSC. How do you compare and contrast the security of the country, the infrastructure that is there when it comes to intelligence, with experience as opposed to loyalty to the new president or perceived loyalty to the new president? Because not everybody's going to agree with everything everybody says. Not everybody that works for the National Security Council is going to have voted for President Trump. However, you can't run them off just for that, right? Or how do you discern who's undermining you or not? You understand what I'm saying? How do you balance all that out?
Absolutely. It's an excellent question and an important one. So there are a few principles that are operating here. So the first is that the president, as chief executive, has the authority to have his team. That is longstanding and just makes complete sense. And you mentioned a corporation just before the break, mm-hmm. right? I mean, if it's government or a corporation or whatever, you want the chief executive to be able to have a team that person is comfortable with and believes is competent. Competence is enormously important here. And you mentioned loyalty. So a second principle here is that the way the United States government has operated is that that the loyalty is to the Constitution. That's the oath that you give when you're in government service. It's protect and defend the Constitution and the national interest, the national security. Right? You are executing legal orders from the president, right? The Secretary of Defense, whatever. Right? But your ultimate loyalty is to the Constitution, the rule of law, and the general public interest, right? And so I've been very concerned, as a lot of people have, that that there are lots of indications that this president prizes loyalty to him over the Constitution and the general public interest. And I'd say a third point is advisors to top people. So we were talking about the top military advisor to the president, which is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And then you have legal advisors, you have intelligence advisors. These reflect professions. And in these professions, this is something I write about, is they have ethical codes. And those ethical codes have a commonality in they have a heightened fidelity to the truth. And they also have an obligation to provide independent advice about what's the best military course of action, what's legal, what's not, and what does the intelligence say. And you absolutely need that, because you need the senior most decision makers in the country to be operating with the best advice they can possibly get. And you need advisors who are willing to get in their face and say, Mr. President, Madam Secretary, Senator, whatever, right? You know, with respect, the way that you're describing things does not line up, right, with the military facts, with the law, with the intel.
We're running out of time here, and I want you to come back, because we never have enough time. But I don't think that's any different in a corporate setting. I don't think you want a man. You want somebody to tell you when you follow you know what, right? I mean, if you want to be successful.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the material as far as we know. Was it classified material? And as a result, are the necessary steps being taken to hold the people responsible if, in fact, they did inappropriately discuss classified material?
Yeah, well, so on the on the material that was in the signal chat, the Secretary of Defense and the President now have both said that it wasn't classified.
Was not.
And I find that just not credible. When you look at that exact times of F-18s taking off, when the bombs are going to fall, right? Like when the drones are going to, this is stuff that is absolutely TS top secret classified when this stuff is generated. So I don't find that credible. Now, the President or the Secretary of Defense could have declassified that information before it was dropped into the signal chat. But note, right, in 2 weeks, have they said that? No, they have not tried to say
that. Well, that reminds me of the document thing, as you mentioned that, with the...
Yeah, absolutely. And there's been no accountability. President Trump ordered some sort of initial investigation into this, and then he decided he wasn't going to do anything about it. And I just find that, I find that stunning in contrast to something else we saw recently, which is all the evidence of how aggressive the Trump administration is being in enforcing law against people outside of the administration. Just one data point here. The Attorney General of the United States took the time herself to say they were going to seek a 20-year sentence for somebody who threw an explosive at a Tesla dealership as an act of domestic terrorism. 20-year sentence. And here you have the top national security cabinet who are talking about military strike plans and an unsecure app violating all sorts of statutes, and they're not doing anything? I think it's a massive double standard.
Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time. I hope you come back with us. Somebody texted in and said, I don't care who did it. It's wrong. I don't understand how people can blindly follow either the Republican or the Democratic Party. Wrong is wrong. The security of the country comes first. That's how I see it. 6:31, 29 till 7. We'll talk tariffs when we come back on WWL.